Production. Recorded live.
Hi, good evening, everybody. Tonight, of course, we're going to continue with the grand jury as we prepare New York State to hopefully have a grand jury in all 62 counties, hopefully soon. We will accomplish that goal. Hopefully we'll accomplish it by the dates we've got set, but if we have to push those dates a little bit, then we'll push the dates a little bit. But I think it's really strategic, considering how serious the problems are in a country today, that we do all 62 at the same time and surface in power all at the same time. That'll overwhelm them, and we'll have a much better shot at saving the Republic here in New York, and then hopefully that will ripple across the country. Anyway, tonight, you know, we put some, this week, we put some videos together with a PowerPoint that I've got. I discovered I could do videos directly through the PowerPoint. So the PowerPoints that we sort of cleaned our PowerPoints up, and we've created a couple of them. We've created a PowerPoint for the grand jury. That now is reduced down to 45 minutes. Whenever I give it live, I always add things, and it just goes so long sometimes. So it's good that I'm able to reduce that down. But it's to 45 minutes, and it's a video, and it looks just like a PowerPoint. It's really high quality the way it sets up through the PowerPoint. That's on our front page now, so people can go out onto the front page, click on it. It's NewYorkCommitteeman.org, and you'll see Breaking Story, and right under the Breaking Story is the video. We have a couple of recordings. Last week after our Monday show, I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday, I was asked to be a guest on another talk show program, and that was recorded, and I posted that up right below the video, so if people want to hear that recording. And, of course, we were talking about the grand jury, and we were talking with a group that's doing other things nationwide, as a matter of fact, very similar to what we're doing. I've made some contact, different contacts with people over the past week or two, and as everybody's aware from last week's program, those who've listened in or were here, that we kind of unintentionally went nationwide. People are interested, so we're going to feed them whatever we have. I'm just about almost done with the materials for the workshop and laying out how we're going to go through the process, what the process we're going to be used for taking the control of the process through the election and then through the proper filing. We're going to file the documents with the chief clerk of the court and also with the county clerk. So it'll be filed in both places. It'll be a very effective, very powerful, and they will not be able to deny the fact that a grand jury was elected in each and every one of our counties. So we have kind of a very, very strong prescription that we put together on this. So that should be packaged pretty soon. You know, I've made some contacts with people that are going to burn this in large quantities for us. Kind of waiting on some funding to come in order to do that. But as soon as I get the funding in, then we will go forward and get those CDs out. And it'll be everything we're doing, everything we've done, it will be on that CD. And, step by step. So any state, and we tried to make everything as generic as possible, and I think it is. Grand jury works anywhere anyway. But a lot of the court cases, we used U.S. Supreme Court cases and everything we're doing. I don't recall whether we used any New York Supreme Court cases. I don't think we did, so it works in every state pretty powerfully. Well, we did use a couple of things. The common law process is a requirement also under the New York State Constitution, and they are very specific that all courts are courts of record. So that's a requirement by Constitution, which is good and powerful for us here in New York. Surprised that New York has such a powerful writing up on that. And that plays right in, of course, very, very powerfully with our grand jury. So that might be maybe the only thing that other states may not have as strong in their constitutions. It's not necessary because the United States Constitution trumps the state constitution anyway. So anyway, once we get this together and we get some a couple of thousand run off, we'll be using DVDs because it's going to be a lot of material on it. But of course, it'll be digital, a digital process form, so that you put it into your computer, it works just like a CD, and you just got a file cabinet on a CD or a DVD. And so we will then mail that out to everybody in any other state that's interested in doing what we're doing, and they will have everything we're doing right there. We also created a, I think, a very powerful pocketbook for jurors, sheriffs, bailiffs, and judges. And we were going to do four pocketbooks, but when I really started going through, I realized just the one for everyone. You know, we had a little bit on the on each one of these, a little bit on the bailiffs, a little bit on the sheriff, a little bit on the judge, a little bit on the juries, and but then everything else is really for everybody. So we put that together. We're going to have that professionally printed off also, and we will ship a copy of that with our CDs to anybody out of state that wants it. You know, we'll do that without charge. What I'll ask people to do that they want it is they just send me a self-addressed stamped envelope. Got to be big enough to put a CD in it, you know, I'll get the weight and stuff, and well, actually, it may not be that bad. I'm not going to worry about that. I should have the. It'll only going to be maybe two stamps, so that shouldn't be too bad. But anyway, people will send me the info that they wanted. They'll give me the info for the mailing address, and I'll get it to them. So we'll send them a copy of the booklet, you know, the handbook that the pocketbook that we're creating. We'll send them a copy of the DVD. And we'll give them the address of the places that we had those things burnt off of, because you'll want to get it, you know, you'll get it for the same price we get it for. I'll let them know that others will call in and just order, you know, hundreds of thousands, whatever it is. We're going to get quite a few thousands. Everybody that comes to our workshop will get copies of those two items particularly. And we're also going to have... you know, we'll suggest everyone else do the same thing, get the pocket books for the Constitution. So people should have that too. We figure that every individual, every jurist should have one, and every, even a trial jurist should have a copy of the handbook. Every grand jurist should have a copy of the CD and the handbook. Every judge that we interview and talk with, every sheriff, we need to give them handbooks. We should have, you know, a dozen for the sheriff or something, or two dozen for the sheriff, so he can give them to his deputies. Because they need to know the law, the common law. They're not going to be able to call a lawyer anymore to ask them if this is legal to do or that's legal to do, because they have to understand common law. And if they got a question, if they go through their books, you know, if they got questions, they can call the grand jury up and ask them. We'll be more than happy to tell them, you know, what's what on that. We just got to get everybody on the same page on this. We're not going to permit, grand jury cannot permit anything but a common law court in the Supreme Court process in the state. Every state, of course, should do that, but we're definitely going to do that. The Constitution of New York State requires, it's not saying it's a good idea, could be, should be, would be, might be, or, no, it got to be. Every Supreme Court in the state of New York, there's only one Supreme Court, of course, but we have 62 locations, one in every county seat. And each one of those in every county seat has a judge that's elected. There's 62 elected Supreme Court judges, or justices, shall I call them. Better name for them is justices, and we'll talk about that maybe a little later, why that's probably a good name for them. Judge, definitely not, because they don't get the judge. We're going to remove them from judging because common law removes them from judging. Common law does not permit an individual, a man, to rule over another man, especially a man or a woman that is paid by the government, that is politically controlled, that might keep the status quo, politically speaking. That individual cannot rule on us. It's against, without your consent, no man in government can rule on you. And that's a very important point. We lay that out in these books on how that is the case. And but in any event, we need to require, as the New York State Supreme, as the New York State Constitution says extremely clearly that the family court, the county courts, and the Supreme Court, and the appellate court, and the court and the Court of Appeals, all five of those courts, are courts of record. They can be nothing else. So we are going to have to insist on that, and we're going to have to enforce that, because it's our duty as grand jurors to enforce the law and obey the law ourselves. So, of course, this brings us right back to the Republic, and that's what we're trying to do here, is getting back to the Republic. So this is pretty powerful. Also, the United States Supreme Court is very clear that our courts are common law courts. And so, therefore, even if your state is weak on it or tries to play games with it, the U.S. Constitution trumps them. So it's a requirement that it be a common law court. And that's why we're going to work on our judges first and the people close to us in our counties, the judges, the sheriff, the prosecutors, and get them all on the same page. Obviously, the Constitution and a common law court will not permit a government-controlled, paid, or chosen trial jury or grand jury. This must come out from the people and people alone. Only the people can judge people. Only the people can judge people. And in a court of record, the sovereign is the tribunal and gets to judge the state. The state doesn't get a jury unless the sovereign wants to give them a jury, and I don't know why they would want to do that. So you get the rule on them and not the judge. And so you just have to put on a good show, lay out your plan, and that's something we teach on New York Committeeman, by the way, on how to run a court of record in the courts. Getting back to the videos, again, anybody that is going out to do a presentation, they might want to consider downloading our video. It's 45 minutes long of the presentation, a very good quality, high-quality videotape of our PowerPoint. And they can just play that over their digital projector, plug it into speakers, and then they can spend a half hour, an hour, whatever it is, talking about it, what they watched, and answering questions from whatever knowledge they have. If they would like, they could kind of set things up with me to call me on the phone after their meet, you know, at some point during their meeting after they play the presentation, if they want me to help them out in answering questions. I did that with a group recently up in the Livingston and Monroe area. So, you know, I'll do that for anybody. Of course, we'll also continue to travel for anybody who wants us to travel and come out and give the presentations. But again, you can get people to go right up in line, watch the presentation, and listen to the audios, read the materials, and then you follow up with them, make sure they've watched it, and ask them if they're going to sign on. So that's a way to sign people up. So everybody, it's a leader. It's time to really push on this. We've got to get our 25s. If we only got 15, let's get our 15 together. Let's get them registered. Let's get them into the system. Get the paperwork out. I need to start working on the logistics of planning this thing. So we need to start getting a head count on this stuff. And we need to get our 25s. Hook, line, and sinker, we should put everything in our life at this moment, on the next 2 weeks, getting our 25. We all know how important it is. And we can't afford to push dates back another week and another week and another week. We just can't do that. I don't think we have that kind of a luxury. So we must get our 25. Day or night, whatever you got to do, get our 25. Also, you know, we could use some funding, so anybody who feels that they could would like to donate to us, go up to our line, newyorkcommittyman.org, click on our donation button, and, you know, you could donate through credit cards, or you can mail us a check, or whatever you can do. You know, even if it's only $5, hey, you know, a lot, 20 people with $5, it adds up, that's $100, so, hey, anything to help pay the bills. You know, there are some people that can afford $100, and if they could throw it our way, it would be nice. And most people could probably afford about $20. And if people just think about, you know, giving us $20 from time to time, maybe once a month or something, that would really be helpful and help the movement and the growth. We've got a lot of things going on, and we're not going to stop once the grand jury gets up there, because we still have a lot of work to do, especially behind the scenes on the legal side of things and making sure that the paperwork is right and helping people in all kinds of ways. So the first year is going to be, you know, kind of, you know, getting into the system and making things run smooth. And once we get a little steam and a little seasoned in the system, you know, it'll come a lot quicker. It becomes old hat. I redid a presentation on the committee man also. I shortened that up quite a bit. And I did, well, we're going to have that posted tonight. After this program tonight, I will spend the 10 minutes or whatever it is to upload it and get it onto our site. It'll be down below, a little bit down below on the front page, but below the grand jury. And we are still pushing for political power, taking control of the committee man process here in New York. And I would strongly suspect, very strongly suspect, that every state has the same problem that we have here in New York. It's repeated everywhere in every form of part of the government. Everything's a facade. It's a game they play, and it's fiction. And it makes it look like it's one thing, but it's not. They make the committee men look like they're elected in New York, but they're absolutely not. There's no doubt about it. The Supreme Court already ruled on this for us numerous times. So they are not elected here in New York. Yet we do have the provisions for an election. And if we didn't, there should be anyway, because that's what is required. This is the consenter of the people, the power of the people as consenters is found in the committee man and the grand jury. The grand jury, in my opinion, being the most powerfulest and the easiest to move forward. So, all right, I'm going to open the mics up in a second or two, but the key thing is here, organize, organize, organize. That's the focus. That's what we need to do. We must organize. Let's get our people together. Let's do it. And by the way, you know, in the beginning, we were saying 25 kind of strict. That's not true. No, you can get 30, 40 people. As many people want to come in or even have to come in, the more the better for numerous reasons. You kind of have backup people. But also, you're probably going to want to have more than one grand jury. That takes the weight off of one if you got two. Even if you don't have a lot of stuff going on, you might want to have just a pool to draw off, you know, a left-right or a 1-2 grand jury, you know, gets pulled this month, the next month that one, or whatever. So it's not going to hurt us to have more. Also, even if people come in for 6 months or a year, kind of filling the spot and doing some things and helping out, and even if they don't intend on spending a long time in, that'll be helpful for us to fill the spot until we get moving. I found out that a lot of grand juries really don't, the ones that are paid and the ones that are, you know, government controlled, they kind of have sporadic grand juries when they pull out of a pool just to do their dirty business because they get these people that have a clue what's going on. They screen them well. They know their psychological makeup. They're usually controlled people. And they'll get them into the system, tell them exactly what they got to do, and they'll do it, and then they'll let them go. But there are some groups of people they collect, and they may keep them in for as long as a year. And so grand juries are at least a year. I'm going to suggest 2 years should be the term, but of course no one is committed to being in two years. If you only want to be in for 1 year or 6 months, that's fine. You've done your duty, and someone else will take your place. We just got to do what we got to do. Let's see. Anyway, I guess that's pretty much it. I think 2 years is long enough for anyone on a grand jury. People, and again, every grand jury could decide for themselves, but we surely don't want anyone to come in there and kind of be in there forever, because that's the problems we have all over government. We just don't need that. We need people moving through and learning the system and participating in the process. And those of us who are really gets educated in this, we can become counselors for the grand jury. The grand jury will always need a counselor, a legal counselor, and they surely can't go to a lawyer. So any of us that really, you know, works very hard to understand the process, you can be a counselor for the grand jury, and that's a paid position, by the way. You know, you can make a living. It could be a good living that you can make from that. you know, help with writing the papers, or something strange comes up, or a problem comes up, or anything to be interpreted, a concern, you know, someone needs to be there. So they must always have that. All right, with that, I'm going to leave the red dots on for right now. I see Carl has his hand up. Gerard, you're already unmuted. So I will unmute Carl. Carl, you're unmuted. Let me see if there's anybody else that wants to talk, raise your hand, and I'll unmute you. Carl, go right ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening. Question. I missed a few minutes, so I'm not sure if you covered it, but what is in the workshop? What's the details? What are you covering? Like how to set up or how to advertise, you know, let your no selves be known?
Everything you wanted to know about the grand jury and was afraid to ask. Well, you know, we go right from the opening up into the pledge, and you know, I've got a list of things. We're going to do a big focus about 2 hours on a state of mind, you know, what liberty is. And we really need to come to an appreciation and a mindset on that. Then after that, we're going to go right into the election process and taking power itself. How are we going to do it? What's the process? All the paperwork and everything, we're going to go through it all. A grand jury meetings, how we're going to meet, how often we should meet, how we, you know, we're thinking of using, we're going to propose using webinar, GoToWebinar. It looks like the best. It's not too expensive. By the way, the state's going to pay for that anyway. But nevertheless, we want to be frugal. So I think it's a wise thing we could use. What's nice about that is we can connect all 62 together as if we're coming in as a corporation almost, but just one group having 62 rooms and then a large room where everyone can meet. So maybe once a year, once a couple of times a year, whatever. In the beginning, we may meet often, you know, at this go to webinar. But we could do it in the evenings. You know, we don't have to take off from work, and we can do something in an hour or two in a meeting at night, and over the course of two or three nights, in the course of a week, you know, we could meet and discuss, you know, 6 hours worth of business and things. Go to webinar would be a good place to meet to talk about where the problems are and how we expect to deal with those problems. Anyway, we're going to discuss that in detail at the workshop. We have numerous questions and answers as we go through different stages. We'll have a lunch break, of course, and then after that, you know, we're going to go into the first order of business in your county. We're going to go through that process. How to deal with the Supreme Court justice, the prosecutors, the sheriffs, the town justice, the appellate court, and court of appeals. So we're going to discuss that and make a plan. And again, there'll be plenty of written material to go through with this stuff. Let's see what we have to do on a state level. We have to deal with the legislators. You know, when we were putting this plan together, trying to discover, you know, what exactly we've got to say to who and how we've got to get these people under control and, you know, what to do. Really, when we worked through the legislators, we found that we don't have to go to the governor. We don't have to say nothing to the governor. Because once we get the legislators under the control, that's it. The governor is really irrelevant to some degree. So we don't really, at this point, have a plan to do anything with the governor, or to meet with the governor right away. Just with the legislators, which would be both houses. And then, of course, the legislators for Washington, which is the congressman and our two senators. Then there's the we're going to lay out a plan. We got samples for a summons, what it looks like, and we're going to discuss that, how that gets filled out when we send out a summons or an indictment or a presentation. A summons would be, you know, asking people to come in so that we can interview them. Not that we're going to indict, because that's what we're going to be looking to do by talking to people. An indictment, of course, is you're going to indict. We've got an example of that. It's already printed up. We're going to work through that. Presentment, the same thing, which is pretty close to an indictment, not much different between those two. But nevertheless, we have a framework. We have the letterheads. We have a couple of letterheads we put together, and, of course, anybody can create their own. We're going to talk about a court seal. We've already got a copy of a court seal. Which is, you know, would have your name, county, you know, like Dutchess County, New York, grand jury. And, but anyway, we'll reveal that at the meeting. We got pictures of what it's going to look like, and They only cost about $45 a piece. We'll have to put that out of our own pocket in the beginning, and we'll get reimbursed later on from the state. We've got the grand jury report. We're going to discuss, how the grand jury can report to the people and what's going on. You know, I think, and if, you know, every once in a while they might want to say something to the people, and it'll be a place, we're going to create a website where the grand jury can talk to the people, and people can talk to the grand jury, you know, even send email to their grand jury, and, you know, be a little creative with that, because we have to get people to know us, we have to get people used to us being there, and never let this be lost in the memory of America again. We're going to do a short presentation, maybe 25 minutes, on the New York committeeman, and we're going to suggest that as many people as possible should run for that. I'd like to get at least 4 people per county. And then we got a lot of homework to send people out with, home with, which is really a lot of MP3s, which will be on the CD. And we got handouts and there may be a few other things, but a lot of it we'll be discussing. There'll be a couple of periods of times when we're really going to get focused in on the meaning of liberty, the meaning of jurisdiction, focusing in on these very, very important things that we must understand and have a clear mindset on, so that when we talk to people, you know, the key thing is this, when we're making a decision, if there's no injured party, there is no crime, okay? There must be an injured party. So anyway, that's kind of, there's a few other things that we're working on, but that's kind of the lump thing. It's pretty much should give us everything we need to do what we want, what we have to do, which is be a grand jury. You know, as far as the actual deciding on whether we indict or not, I mean, again, you know, you have the right frame of mind on what a crime is and what a crime isn't. That's the key thing. Okay, we look at this with a sense of justice, a sense of honor, and a sense of mercy, and we make a decision. It's that simple. If anybody else wants to talk, by the way, raise your hand. Carl, anything else?
No, at the moment, thanks.
Okay. West North Carolina, you've been unmuted. Anybody else wants to talk, just raise your hand.
This is Jay from North Carolina.
How you doing?
A couple comments.
Yes.
I've been listening to your programs over the web and kind of trying to catch up with everything over the last week. I think what you guys are doing are great. I just had a couple comments on, you keep saying that every, you know, it should be a turnover like every 2 years.
Right.
Two or 3 years.
Right.
Well, for the first section, you should do like, if it's going to be 2 years, like change out 6 people every 6 months.
Right. We were thinking of that too. You know, maybe we try to plan it where only one person falls off, or maybe 2 persons per month. Yeah. We thought about that, and we're going to have to think about that more so that we have seasoned people always there.
Exactly.
To lead the other people on and teach them and lay out all the things they need. So I absolutely agree with you. We did think about that, and we will write that up as part of our prescription of the grand jury. And, you know, in the beginning, you know, some people who might want to stay there for 2 or 3 years, if it's necessary, yeah. I think we're going to fix this problem real quick, and I think in a year or two, anybody, you know, people will be comfortable that the job is really done and that the momentum is moving and that we're safe.
Uh-huh. Well, if you did like the 6 people in 6 months, you know, that way the people that don't really want to stay in could get out. You'd have the 18 people all the time. And then once you did that first initial deal, everybody could do a 2-year stint because it'd be staggered from that point on.
Right.
But another thing I was going to comment about is the mailing.
Mm-hmm.
I sent out 40,000 DVDs over the last 10 years to people trying to wake them up.
Right.
And it's pretty much a stamp per disc.
Okay.
And then,
That's not bad then. Yeah, because it's not too heavy, as long as it's under an ounce.
Yeah, I think you might be able to get 2 discs in that first ounce, but once you get those 2 first discs, it's generally a stamp of discs.
Right.
And
well, what we need to do, though, is also get a pocket handbook in there, so that might be 2 ounces. But if it's 2 stamps, that's not bad. I mean, we can live with it. And we know that people will, you know, donate here and there, and that'll help to you know, help with those costs.
Well, and another thing that I learned on shipping is if it was like over like 8 discs for somebody,
uh-huh.
it was cheaper to send it medium mail.
Okay.
And if you send it medium mail, you can send discs, literature, magazines, newspapers. There can't be anything personal in the envelope.
Uh-huh.
But anything media oriented, you can send up to a pound for a flat rate.
Okay. Yeah, I will look into that.
And that saved me a lot of money.
Appreciate that.
Okay.
Now, are you going to get involved, you guys, out in West North Carolina?
We are. I don't know if the call that you were on was our call, the collective consciousness call. We've been on our sixth straight year. We were the Aaron Russo call. Then we turned into the Ron Paul National Meetup call. And then after the election, you know, 5 years ago, we turned into the collective consciousness call.
Are you one talk show?
Yes, we are.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't been to your group yet. They haven't invited me, but if they invite me, I'll go talk with them.
We probably will. Betty woke me up to you guys about a week ago, and like I said, I'm an over-the-road truck driver. So all week long, I've podcasted you guys. I've podcast all of your shows, so I listened to the last 5 shows over the last week.
Okay.
And I've been listening to the lectures.
Yeah, that's really great, aren't they?
Yeah, very interesting. So where we are, Betty, I know there's 4 of us right away over the last week in North Carolina. We've been talking back and forth that we definitely want to get involved in this. But.
Well, send me some contact information. I'll get you on that special list because I'm collecting a list of anybody out of state, out of New York. And when we have a national meeting, we will send an invite. And I think they have who's ever actually going to, you know, sponsor the meeting. I think they have a webinar or something. And so they have some kind of a program we'll be going on to. But if you send me your email, I will definitely let you know as soon as I know when we're going to have that national meeting. And that national meeting is really where we're going to share as much information as we can with everybody. We'll have some really, we'll literally send out CDs and everything to people and get them going. And the key thing is organizing your state. I really feel it's important to, you know, work at home first. You work within your own town and county. That's what you got to do. That you get control of your town and county, then you deal with your state on a state level. And that works out on its own once you get your county together anyway, because you're going to get the judge together, you're going to get the sheriff together, you're going to get the prosecutor together, and you've pretty much covered everything right there locally. I mean, there's other people involved, but you can get to them as time goes on. But then collectively, all the counties of your state, that's why you want to do all of them, they go after the state as sort of a super jury. I wrote a paper that we're going to be, or we got it almost written up, and you know we still have work to do with it. But generally, it's a paper that's going to go to the legislator and kind of tell them what they need to do, and the consequences of what happens if they don't. And then in the end of it, you know, I'm leaving like 2-inch spaces all the way down and 62 spaces. Where we have a place for the signature of the foreman for each of the 62 county juries and a place for their seal. And so when they get this, every legislator in both the Assembly and the Senate of New York will get this at the same time, and they'll get all the seals of the 62 grand juries. It'll be overwhelming to them. And we will also maybe even add a copy. Well, they already got a copy, but maybe we'll add a copy of the Articles of Freedom. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we've been, our group has been involved heavily. The moderator of our call is Fred Smart and Dee Dee Farrell, and they used to be Aaron Russo's national coordinator.
Right. Yeah,
and
sorry to hear with Aaron Russo. And, you know, I thought he'd be able to beat that because there's so many cures out there. But it's a shame we lost him.
Yeah, it is. But we're definitely interested, and we've been making calls, and like I say, we've been trying to catch up with your information here.
Right.
It, it's funny how you don't hear about something for so long, and then it's like, oh, wow, that's going on.
The perfect storm is coming, let me tell you, and we're not the only ones. And there's, you know, you got Sheriff Mack is moving big time. The sheriffs across the country is moving big time. Michael Badnarik is out. The Badnarik is out there doing his thing. Robert Schultz has become very active in New York State and other places also. He's been working national also. But I think we have the perfect storm coming up. And it, you know, the perfect storm is unplanned. It just happens. And I think that's what we're getting to. And this thing that we're talking about, I'm so surprised to find that so many people are already doing some things in this way, and some have already done it, a county here or there. So it's really going to be powerful once people get on board. But look, I'm John at NewYorkCommitteeMen.org. All my information is on the site. You know, you click on site contact and send me an email with your contact information, and
okay,
anybody else, and especially if you know someone in another state that wants to do that, have them send me their information. I need their email, their phone number, at least their first name. So email, phone number, first name, what state you're from. And I guess that's the important stuff. And we will notify you as soon as we know when we're going to have a national meeting. And,
okay.
And then I have lists. I have a national list that I will send out to other people, so we'll even get more people coming in.
Okay. Well, actually, Betty, the woman that turned me on to you guys, she's been in We the People for like 20 years or something, and I've been in it for a while, for about 6-7 years, and we actually were plaintiffs in the National Clean Elections lawsuit,
mm-hmm.
Where three people from each state tried to sue the elections officials for the electronic voting machines, which is still going on,
right,
by the way. It's called the National Clean Elections Office. So we've been active.
Yeah, the problem with that is they sued the wrong people.
Uh-huh.
And you don't know that yet because they're not telling you who the people are that you got to sue. I happen to know who the people are because we researched this. What you have to sue is you have to sue the Republican and Democratic parties. They're the ones that did this. They're the ones that got the digital election system going. So if you sue those people, and they don't even have the authority, we have Supreme Court rulings that make it very clear that these people do not have the authority, either statutory or any kind of a constitutional authority, to even be doing what they're doing. Okay. But because no judge will touch it, and because they've expunged the elected committeemen, at least here in the New York State, nobody's doing anything. But we're ready to, well, the grand jury, I think, is going to clean this up, and we'll have to decide what we'll do afterwards. But, you know, we're ready to move towards a huge lawsuits with U.S. code violations, criminal charges against a lot of judges all at the same time that have done absolutely nothing. They have been shown very clearly that the law is being broken right in front of their nose, and they refuse to fix it. And, you know, all 19 million people in the state of New York are affected by this, every single one of us, because we have what we have, because these people have their hands under control, and they won't allow the people to have it back. And so we're fighting through the courts to get this, but I think the grand jury is going to get to it quicker. First order of business here in New York is to read the Riot Act to the two commissioners up here in New York and Albany who control this whole process that are not allowing the elected committee man to be known to the other counties, and they've expunged them. And so we're going to put them on the spot. They're going to have 48 hours to deal with it, or we're going to indict them. And then I believe we can remove them from office. I haven't looked into that yet. If we can, we will. They're only appointed, so they're not elected. And then the next two to come to fill the void, they'll have 48 hours. And we'll just keep indicting until someone does what has to be done. Okay?
Yeah.
I don't think we'll ever have to indict anyone, to be honest with you. I think they're just going to fold like a cheap wallet.
Well, I've been immersed with this for last week, and I'm really excited about what you guys are doing. So, thank
right.
you.
Right.
John, we got
yes.
California.
Wait a minute.
Before you do that, I want to say a couple things.
Hey,
yeah.
This is Jeff in San Diego.
Yeah, I'll go ahead, Jeff. I'll hold it till I'll wait till he's done.
Hello. Are you talking to me? I'm in California.
Yeah. California.
Yeah, okay. He mentioned about the mailing. I don't know if you know about this, but you can send a letter for $0.03.
You know, I heard something about that.
I've done three of them now. There's no problem. I happened to be in the post office one day, and I thought, oh, I'm going to ask the guy, I said, have you got any 3-cent stamps? He says, no. And then he says, oh. And he reached down below. He pulls out a thing of 20. My first thought is, God, I don't want 20, all that expense. That's 60 cents. But anyway, I've sent three, and I, you know, trying to wake people up to this. And you can send a DVD. You can send packages. You can go online and say, send a letter for 3 cents, and you can read about it. Here's the thing. It's something to do with the United States of America Corporation has taken over the mail service, I believe. The United States had the mail service. They never raised the rates over 3 cents, and I think they have to abide by that. If you send something that's a little more than an ounce, then you got to put 2 stamps on, whatever, and you could figure on a DVD, whatever that would be. But that would be a tremendous savings. And I actually sent somebody a lottery ticket just for fun, you know, with the 3 cents stamp.
So the mail is 3 cents up to the first ounce, and
yeah.
if the letter's a little heavier, then it's 2 cents per ounce after.
Oh, you know about it then?
No, I'm asking. That's what you just told me. I just wanted to repeat that to you.
Oh, I didn't say that. I thought it was 3 cents, you know, every ounce or whatever.
Yeah.
I have done it, and the 3 cent stamps, when I first looked at them, I said, there's, it doesn't say 3 cents on them, but you have to just tip it a little bit, and I think on purpose they didn't want it to show too much, you know.
Now, they know this? Everybody in the post office knows this?
I don't know if everybody in the post office knows it. I put them in my mailbox. She picks them up, and nobody said anything. If they did, they'd have to find out that, you know, that's the law.
And they don't come back to you with saying, hey, you're shy about $1 million.
Nope. Here's the thing. The supposition is that they patented or trademarked or whatever they did with the zip code. In other words, so if you put a zip code on there, it's 43 cents. If you don't spell California out and put CA, they've patented that. Avenue, you got to write Avenue out. You have to write all of these things out, and no zip code. That's the key.
Okay, but you write the state out though. You don't
agree. Yeah, California, New York.
Okay, you write everything out in its full length, but you just don't put a zip code on it to the people it's going to and the people
and
the
person return. And the return.
Okay.
Now you can't send one to Obama. You can't send it to Washington D.C. You can't send it to the military because that's all government. And you can't send it to, I think, any other places that are government. I don't know about sending it to your state legislator or stuff like that. May or may not. I'm not sure. But you can go online and just say, send a 3-cent letter. And you can see. That's what it is. I've done it to 3 different friends just for fun. And I said, and what, you know, I say, look at the stamp. Look at the way it's addressed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that will save us money. I don't send hardly any letters at all. I can't even remember the last letter I sent other than property tax, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The next time I send my property tax in, it's going to be 3 cents.
Very good. I like this. I'm going to try this. Okay, so 3 cents, and I should be able to buy them in my post office.
Yep. And if they say no, say, well, check on that. Because
I'll have a flyer posted out so that if they give me a hard time, I'll give them a flyer. And they can get all the info, you know. So. But okay, that's cool. I appreciate.
I noticed, by the way, I looked yesterday and today. You've changed the website, and like Court Access isn't on your main thing anymore.
Yeah, Court Access is there. Oh,
it
well,
is?
We may have changed the name, but we changed it actually a long time ago. You may have been looking at an old page because that's what happens with browsers, especially Internet Explorer. On the top of our page.
I bookmark those things, so I actually have a bookmark for them, even though it isn't.
What did we used to have? Because right now it says judicial process. What did we have?
Well, you had Court Access, you had Common Law.
Okay, yeah. If you go to and click on judicial process, you'll go to a page, and on the top of that page, it has a lot of tabs, and it has all the other tabs, Court Access, Common Law, Constitution, History, and so on. Now, what you want to do on our website, if you notice on our website on the left side, it says, you know, updated almost daily. It's blinking.
Right.
And it says click to refresh page changes. So every time you come to our site, you should hit that 2 or 3 times on the welcome page. And every page you go to, you should hit it once or twice for refresh because we changed that much. That,
you know, I got a Mac. I haven't had a Mac, you know, since 1983 or something like that. Right. And I can't find Refresh. I don't know where it is.
Well, it's right on the site, though. I mean,
we have it on the webpage itself.
Oh, you do?
Right.
Oh, okay.
You can just click that, click to refresh, and it'll refresh the page
for
you.
Okay, good.
Right above the welcome tab.
Good.
And between the welcome and updated almost daily.
Okay, good.
That you'll see it there. And just click it a couple of times every page you go to make sure you're looking at the latest page, because we do update that often. Now, you're in California. Are you getting involved with this thing with us?
Well, so far, the only commitments are me and a friend of mine.
Well, that's okay. That's all it takes is one to two people to start.
Yeah, but I've been sending your thing, number 24, to people personally, not just boom, you know, send them individually so you know it's to just them. And then I'm trying to follow up and call them.
Right.
So I said two. There's actually three. And there's another one that's a probable four and another one that might be, you know, how it goes. But I just tell people, look, you don't have to commit today. Be on my list. I'm making a list of people that are, you know, in San Diego County that I can keep them updated. And like one person wants, all he cares about is about voting, how fraudulent. And I say, well, yeah, I know it is, and blah, blah, blah. Well, if you're
Grand jury's
voting,
gonna fix that.
Huh?
Grand jury's going to fix that.
Well, the point is, don't worry about, I mean, I'm interested in health, so GMOs and Agenda 21 and, you know, all this kind of stuff. So, you know, the idea is tell them, look, you're going at it the wrong way. Probably doesn't even know how to go about it, but we need to, if we get the electors in line, then we can handle these things.
Right.
Like you were saying, get the
if we, you know, by the way, you know, once we get the grand jury and we control these people in a sense, preventing them from breaking the law,
exactly.
That's all we need to do. That's the only control we're talking about. Don't break the law, because we're going to watch you. If we see you, we're going to get you.
Yeah,
but,
I found that interesting that you said that group is suing the wrong people.
Right. Yes. Well, anyway,
I
got to
tell this guy that.
Once you get that, we tried to tell him. Once we get that done, you know, we get into the grand jury and we start doing that, it doesn't matter if Hitler gets into power. We'll control him, because
exactly.
As soon as he breaks the law, we'll indict him.
Yep.
And it's that simple. You can't indict anyone in Washington, though, but what you can do is fix your own state. You can you can put your own,
state senators,
congressmen and senators on notice and indict them. You can meet them at the corner with a set of handcuffs and bracelets. But see, once you set them in order and you've got control of your state, all you need is 26 states to hit. Then you got over 50%, and now you've controlled Washington.
Right.
And once all the states come in, now you really control Washington. The president's all on his own.
Yeah.
And
I think we're looking for you guys in New York to do something good, and then, like you say, it'll be much easier to talk to people and say, look, how are you doing it?
Absolutely, but start organizing now.
Once New York does it, it's going to go viral. There'll be no holding it back.
Yeah, I think so. I agree.
Yeah.
There's so many people talking, but you got to get them into action.
Yeah.
Right.
And this is doable. So.
Well, it's going to happen. Believe me, we're day and night. Day and night, night and day. I personally do absolutely nothing else but this.
Oh, that's cool.
And I've been doing this for quite some time now, and I don't even get enough sleep.
That's exciting.
But people, we need people to spearhead their states. And you're not alone. You're not expected to do this alone. You got to partner with people. And even if you can only do 2% of what has to be done to get the state organized, and someone else can put 10%, you'll get
get there.
Yeah, you'll get someone who'll come in and will pick up 50% on their own, because, you know, you find those people from time to time.
They know the right people and whatever. Yeah.
And then once you get the organization on the state level working, and you know what? What we did is we went right to all the liberty groups. I mean, meetup.com.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's what I'm starting to look into.
Yeah, and then you've got the Freedom Connector online and various other things you can look into.
Right.
And you start making the calls, you make contacts, get them to come out and look at our website works for every state. It doesn't matter.
Oh, I know.
You could send them right to our front page. I haven't watched the video. It's no different here than it is in California or any place else.
Absolutely.
So even all our material is the same thing. I'm convinced you have the same problem with the committee men as we have. And
I don't I'll tell you, I had never heard of committee men before, and I still have a hard time understanding what it's about. I know it's something about, is there a committee men for the state of New York?
The committee men, there's one committee man for every election district, okay? Right. In my county, we have 249 election districts, so we have 249 committee men.
But I never understood what they do.
Well, those 249 committee men control every elected individual in within their area of election district. So they control their assemblymen, they control their senator, they control their congressman, they control their New York U.S. senator, and so on.
Well, they have the power.
Go ahead. You want to say it?
I was going to say that, yeah, they control them because those guys won't get elected if they don't get the endorsement of the party. So when the committee man shows up and he says, hey, this is what we want, or what are you doing here? That's who they listen to because they know that that's who they need to carry the petitions for election. So that's how they've been controlling them. But what they've been doing is they keep these seats empty. They get a handful of people to control everything. You're not being represented in your voting districts because they're not letting your committee man do what he's supposed to do, and sometimes you don't even have one. I mean, if they're not showing up at the door asking for your signature, they're not even running them. They're appointing them, which is a problem that our suit addresses, that they're appointing them. And that's why they don't even have the authority to count the vote. You know, if they were elected, it's the parties that decide how the vote's going to be counted, not the Board of Elections, not the state or anything like that. But, you know, the fact is the guys running the party are all appointed to from on top, so they don't have any authority to even be doing this stuff. Mm-hmm. The elected committee man does, you know? So that's how they control them, because those guys' political life depends on the party, and they're not going to do anything that the party doesn't want them to do. So when you and I
and they
come
also
to the party,
have the authority to recall, too.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm ready to carry on.
Uh-huh.
So thank you very much.
One other thing about that, again, recall is a very, very powerful part of the process. The threat of recall. You know, look at everyone, all these politicians, they do exactly, not partly, not mostly, not some of the time, no, exactly what the party tells them to do. However the party tells them to vote, they vote. Now, you do have some rebels, or you know what, or they may let a lot of guys go here or there as long as they got the numbers to make it look good, okay? So they'll let someone look like the good guy. They didn't vote for it, oh, these bastards, you know, this, that, and the other thing. You know, but the whole thing was a sham to begin with.
Well,
so they control
that minute, that minute and a half video you have on your site, I don't know who that guy is.
The one that's about 12 minutes long, Jim Condit?
No, it's a minute and a half, and he ends up throwing his papers. And.
Oh, yeah, that's powerful.
I've sent that out to everybody I know.
You should look at the Jim Condit video, because that gives you a little synopsis of how the committee man system works. It's only 10 or 12 minutes long.
I like watching videos. I think I've watched them all. But.
Here's the big dark secret, okay? When people understand that statutes are not law and they don't have to obey it,
right,
and the grand jury will echo that and make it so, because they won't allow judges to put people in jail under fraud. If you want to put someone in jail under that, you have to tell a person what they're doing and they have to give you consent. Now, who's going to give their consent to go to jail? So they'll be at the town courts, city courts. A lot of these places will close down and get back to just the county courts and the Supreme Courts, which is what we should just be having. That's it. But the bottom line is this. When people realize that they don't have to obey these things, and we stop these people from writing statutes that control the behaviors of their boss, that's we the people, once we stop that, there's no more politics. It's done. Politics is everything about controlling your legislators so you can write things anti-Democrat or liberal or anti-Republican or conservative. And whoever gets the power says, and they start writing all this stuff, and they're controlling, you see?
Mm-hmm.
And then the other side gets it, they're controlling.
Oh, I know.
But once
they're
you get rid of the behavior stuff, you know, when the government can't write anything on your behavior, then you know what? Politics just ended. There is no more politics.
Well, if they just stick with the 19 things in the Constitution they're allowed, we'd be in good shape.
We met in Kingston, New York, all of the elected committee men, those who took an oath, Okay, there was about 150 elected, and about 50 of us met together in Kingston, New York, on June 2nd, 2012. We took our oath, so we were the only, we were the first elected committee men in at least 60 years, bare minimum, probably 65 here in New York, at least. And so here you got first 50 elected committee men, Democrats and Republicans, working together. We rewrote the party rules. We set them in place, and we wrote a resolution for ourselves and for our, the legislators. And now we can't do anything with it because they don't recognize us as such, but it's in place. It's ready. It's as legal as anything to be, legal, and it's in place. The moment we take power, we shift that into place. We get rid of all the garbage. We put everyone on notice. We give the resolution to the legislators, their marching orders. We let them know this is what you're going to do. You're going to do the good things. You're going to do the people things. Forget about the business things, because anybody that's going against the people, we're going to get rid of them. And so from that process, too, we're gonna look, because we need to control both. This is power. People will finally control the government. Our founding fathers did not leave us helpless. We got the grand jury and we got the committee man. One's political, one's judicial, and between the two, we can kick butt.
Yep. Hallelujah. Okay.
So that's our plan.
Yep, I'm with it.
Anybody else wants to talk, raise your hand. You know, we'll unmute you.
Somebody
and by the
to
way,
know.
California, what was your first name?
I'm Jeff. I talked to you a couple of times.
Okay, yeah, you sound very familiar.
Yeah, I'm in San Diego.
Make sure you get me an email with your information. I'll put you on a list, and anybody else that's interested on that list. And the purpose of that list is just to send an email out to let everybody know about the national meeting that they can come to and give them access and get part of discussing and meet other people in your state, and let's do it.
I believe I'm on your list, but I'll send you another one.
Yeah, send me one that you're on the special list, okay?
Okay. Okay, I will.
I want to get on that list. No, I don't.
Okay, New York. I see New York. Let me unmute New York. And if California, if you want to speak some more, just raise your hand. New York, go right ahead.
Hey, John, everybody. It's Hisham, Staten Island.
Hey, how you doing, Hisham? Good to hear you.
How are you? Thank you for coming down last Saturday.
Hey, by the way, I don't know if you went early enough. We have a presentation that you can share with other people that didn't make it. We have it on our front page now, which is a PowerPoint presentation in video form. So you can play it right online, or you can actually put it over a projector and play it on that, whatever you want to do. But it should be helpful to lay out the grand jury process to people.
Excellent. Thank you. So I have a question about... Excuse me, the elections, the committee man. I actually sent it in an email. I'm not sure if you got it, but basically...
Yeah, to be honest, I have not checked my email in 2 days, yesterday and today. I must have hundreds in there, but I'll get to it tonight. So.
That's okay. I mean, it's good that if you can mention now what you think about my question.
Okay.
So I received an email from Campaign for Liberty educating people about the committee process and encouraging them to run for it. But it seems, I'm not educated yet enough about it, but it seems that they're encouraging people to go through the regular committee, I mean, the one that has been in place for the last 60 years,
right.
not the one that we're running on. So
right.
Do you think it would... be beneficial if we run on both clauses under the state constitution, or it would weaken our position?
I missed the last part.
He says, do you think that they could run under both, or would it weaken their position? Listen, we're using their system where there's a couple of changes. We don't put in member of the county committee, and most of the time they don't catch it. You know what I mean? I mean, if you want to go in and play with them and do what they're doing, because half the time they won't even count your vote, you know, we have people that ran as committee men, and they accepted them as committee men, but they really accepted them as members of the county committee. And we've had, I think Spider ran under both, too, didn't he, John?
Yes, he did, yes.
Now,
but
some people are doing it. I wouldn't do it myself because it, for me, I think it would weaken my position. You know what I mean? It's giving them credibility. I mean, we're fighting with them over their stupid petition that says member of the county committee. But most of them that are running the system don't know anything. So if you put a petition in and it says committee man, chances are they're going to accept it anyway. They're not going to kick it out because it says committee man.
Right. They just don't acknowledge you as an elected committee man. They acknowledge you as some member of that private association.
Right. They acknowledge you as an appointed committee man because that's basically how they do it.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go in and vote and do what they, you know, and go to their meetings and stuff. The thing is you want to make sure you put committee man down because if we win our case, guess what? You'll be the only elected committee man in your county, maybe, or those people
right.
that did it the right
way.
Well,
that's the plan. You see, look, this is a good thing that Campaign for Liberty people are doing this. They should have been doing this 6-7 years ago because that's what Campaign for Liberty was supposed to be all about. I don't know why they're just getting around to doing this. I know Ron Paul's position was on that, but he was busy being a congressman, and he probably wasn't paying attention. But they haven't been teaching the people. Now, this is good that they're doing this, and it doesn't matter how they get into us, because the bottom line is this. Even as long as there's one elected committeeman, and it's us, okay, we will appoint everyone that's a good guy, everyone that is a person that believes in the Constitution and believes in the Republic, we will appoint them to the elected position. So now, desperate times calls for desperate measures. We would have the power to do it. And as time goes on, we would teach everyone else that's a committee man, you know, we'll talk to them about the Constitution, about the Republic, about all the crises we have here in America and what we need to do. And I know most of them will be on board because I think they're all decent people. The problem is the party bosses, the people are getting the payoff, and those people will be hiding under carpets, wherever they can hide, running off into dark corners when we come in. And so that's why at the workshop that we're going to have for the grand jury, we're going to spend 25 minutes on becoming an elected committeeman. And if we can get at least one person per county, four is desired, but one per county, four is better because you've got partners to work with and so on, but four people per county to go to become an elected committeeman also. Now, that's an elected position. The grand jury is not political, nor is it elected. It's a chosen position. So it's not political in any way. But, you know, once we get we can get people in every county, a couple of people, now we've got control because they're the people that get to decide everything. And when they see good people that got the right mindset and is working with them, they can give them a vote. They could just appoint them as an elected committeeman and make sure they run the next time around to get the actual position locked in. And we'll teach everyone. So we'll take the process back that way, and we'll take the process on the other side back this way. So that'll all work for our good. And because Ron Paul people are the kind of people we want in here because they really are focused in on the Constitution.
So to recap, like, should we just stay running on the same petition that we did last year? Or?
Yeah, we're going to run the same way as we did last year. We have a video that will be going up tonight on the front page, just a little below the other video for the grand jury. You'll have the committeeman video there. That video is 25 minutes long, and if you watch that video, you get the whole picture. You'll see it. And then after that, you can click on the committeeman page. Let me just look real quick on the site and see what that is. Yeah, if you click on committeeman process, okay, and you go to that page, you know, we've got the precis on the committeeman, what our plan is, the history of the committeeman, how to petition. We have a one-hour video on how to fill out your designating petition and how to walk it, how to talk to people, so on. We have walking lists, so we'll get you your walking list. If you send us an email, you follow through. We always have a guy doing that. The oath, we have a 2012 conference, which was recorded. So we have that recorded online. We have all of the results. We've got the resolution. We've got the new party rules. Everything up there. We got Robert's rules. We got the entire election law, and we got PowerPoints. Now let me look. Okay, there's nothing on PowerPoints. I'll put the PowerPoint up there soon. I'll put the video and the downloadable PowerPoint, and maybe I'll do that tonight. And so everything you need to know could be gotten off this website, And, of course, like anything else we do, anybody wants us to come down and personally talk with them and talk to a group and have a conversation, do a presentation, whatever, just give us a call. We'll settle it. But right now, not too much now until we get the well, we'll do it. We're working on it. We'll do what we got to do. We'll do them both, you know?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anything else? By the way, anybody else wants to talk, just raise your hand by hitting star 8. Star 8 will raise your hand, and when we see you, we'll put you up. Okay, I see Big Ideas and Cobuzz. Cobuzz is first, so I'll get him first. Are you done, Hesham?
Thank you, yes.
Okay. All right. Let me get that. Cobuzz, go right ahead. Your mic is unmuted.
Okay, thank you. Hey, John, thanks for putting on the call tonight. Appreciate it. This is Corey.
Hey, how did things go on that meeting the other night?
Went well. We've got a lot of enthusiasm.
Great. Look at the video up there and see how that might work with you. I mean, it's a lot of what you've already presented, but it's a different form. It's shorter, and it's in a different form. I think much better, more thought out.
It's also good because you need people to go get other people, so it gives them a tool. In other words,
right.
They can play that for them, and it's just like they're going to one of our presentations.
Right.
Well, I have a specific question for you tonight. I
And just one other thing also. You can download that video right there on the page, and you can present it, and then you could still tie me in as in a conference call again if you wanted to do that again. If you need to do that, no problem. We do that. Or we'll come up if you want us. I don't care. We also have Big Ideas. Joe, he's got his hand up. And matter of fact, I'll unmute him while we're talking. He may want to pipe in because he's right next door to you, as you may know. We were just up there to see him. And he's very capable of presenting these things also.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I have one very specific question tonight. I had asked before about one person serving on multiple counties juries, and you kind of advised against that, just for impropriety's sake. But I have a specific question, and that is, in a neighboring county, does somebody have to have county residence to be able to be on a certain county's grand jury?
Yeah, you know, off the top of my head, I would say I think so, but let me think on that answer to that one. Maybe I'll try to call Thornton and see what Thornton might think on that. But I'm pretty sure he said that you got to live within the territory that you are being a grand juror in. So, but keep in mind this, you know, this is something we haven't talked about yet, but we will talk about this at the conference. There are other grand juries that we need to deal with. There's, and I got to count the numbers. I think there's four federal grand juries that we need to deal with. Federal grand juries are a problem, especially with the IRS. I don't even know if the IRS uses grand juries, and if they don't, that's good news. But there are four federal zones in our state, and collectively we need to deal with them. So if you take a sort of a general idea, you know, we've got 62 counties, so let's say about 15 counties per zone. You know, that's about 60 counties. So in 15 counties per zone, if they're going to do something, we want them to use a real grand jury. They can pull off of those 15 counties and maybe, you know, 20 people, 10 people, and you don't even need 25. You can, you know, for the actual meeting. Actually, I think the minimum is 4. I got to look into that. If 4 people come to meet to hear a case, I think that's the minimum. 5. I think 5 is the minimum to hear the case. And so even though you got 25 people, you only need 5 to hear the case and then make the decision. So that would be the same thing on the federal level. And I'm sure between all of these people involved, okay, if you got 15 counties, so that's 15 counties times 25 people, so that's 375 people. I'm sure 5 people out of 375 can find some time to sit on the federal thing. But the other thing is this. Once we get our 25, even if it's the same day, the day after, it doesn't matter. If 5 more people want to come in, bring them right in. Let them become part of the thing. And again, you know, it just, who cares if we have a surplus? That's a good thing. And that gives us more of a break for some people who can't make it on this day or can't do nothing on that day, you know, and maybe can't make it for a couple of months. But you'll always have someone that might be able to fill in. At least you'll pull at minimum 5, you know, to make the decision on any particular case. But we need to control our federal, juries also. We're going to talk more about that.
Okay. I have one more question here. Some people have been asking me for actual written books on the subject. Anything you'd recommend specifically?
Well, what I recommend is everything on our site, because you're not going to get a book that's going to tell it correctly. I have noticed every place I've went, everything I've looked at, I see little problems here, little problems there. Even the way some of these people have put their grand juries together, I see a little problem here and a little problem there. There was one grand jury who claimed themselves to be the United States grand jury and referred to themselves as United States citizen. That's a problem right off the bat. And that's the group that went out after Obama, and they tried to indict him. But they failed miserably, and they were ignored. But they could be, because they're servants. They're subject to the United States. So the United States rules over them. But they're not telling them that. They just get frustrated, don't know why they can't get through the courts or anything, but that's the reason why. And they've been doing this for years. They're working, and it's not going nowhere. They don't have they just made so many mistakes. They also didn't have the people do an election. I mean, how can you have an election of a United States grand jury and not have every state participate in that election? You see, you can't do that. So what you need to do is this. We don't need to do any kind of a United States grand jury. We don't need to do a state grand jury. Look, all you need to do is a county grand jury. That's all you need to do. And collectively, all the counties in the state, they become the state grand jury. The same thing with, anything in the federal government that touches you, well, that's it. If you wanted to go after the president and you wanted to do it really powerfully, well, then you'd have to wait till the majority of the states do what we're doing, or all of the states, and then do it collectively, work out, an agreement between the states and let's do it together. We can't deny that. Can't deny it. And that's powerful. But you know what? When you control your states, you won't have to worry about controlling the president, because the president's powers will be pulled. We're going to bring back the power to the legislators again and the powers to the people. And then the president won't be the dictator anymore.
Right. Okay.
Anything else? Sorry.
That's all I had.
All right. Check out our new video up there, and if you can't download it, let me know and I'll pass it to you over Skype or something. Okay?
Yeah, I can get
Joe,
it.
Joe, big ideas. Good to see you.
Hey, John, the fellow who was on just before this last gentleman asked about running on the same petition as last time.
Uh-huh.
He's asked that before, and the answer is no. He has to walk his new petition with the new date and the new details and everything filled in properly. You
right.
got to do the work again this year.
Okay, that's what he meant. I didn't realize that. I thought he meant doing it the same way as he did last time. But, yeah, you have to have a new petition. You have to have new signatures. And we do it, I do it every year. And I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm just going to do even years. I ran the last even year, so I'm there. This is 2013. I might run anyway just for the heck of it, so they can't try to kick me out or anything. My name is in. But you have to run every even year. So every 2 years, on the even year, you got to run for the true elected committeemen. Now, last year, even though I ran, my group, county, they run on the odd year. So they thought I was crazy and, it's like, oh, they wanted to reject it, But I don't care. It went in, it got registered, it's there. And bottom line is when they acknowledge all of the prima facie designating petitions as the elected committeeman, my prima facie designating petition is right in there, and I get a copy anyway with a stamp on it. So I'll give them another copy if they threw it away. But you got to run every even year minimum, and if you want, you could do it every year. I do it every year because it gives the opportunity to sue every year too. So not that I'm planning to sue this year, but who knows? Because it's a different assault, it's a different crime, it's a different date. The guy walks down the street and mugs you on the corner, and the judge rules that you don't have the authority to, I didn't see Gerard's off, let me put him back on. The walks down the street and you get mugged by some guy in a corner, and the judge throws your case out for no cause of action, tells you not to come back no more or whatever, and the next week you walk down there and you get mugged again, what, does he have a license to mug you? You know? You know, they try to say, hey, you already brought this case in. You can't do this again. We already ruled on it. No, it's a new incident. It's a new assault, you know? But they try to play that game. But it does give you the opportunity. This time, if we have to do a lawsuit, we're not suing any state. We're suing the individuals, and we're going to sue them on criminal and civil, and we're going to put them in jail this time.
You're
but so I think
mean.
The grand jury will fix this one.
We got a couple of questions in the text chat, John.
You'll have to read them to me, yeah?
Well, some of them, somebody's asking how many other states. I'm going to say we have other states we don't know. We're not keeping track of them.
Right.
We wouldn't let it out anyway if we knew. We don't want them to know we're coming. Let them figure it out themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But there are other states, and they do call. And, you know, it's gonna gain steam as we go along. So it has to rise up out of the people, and we're not really organizing the other states. They're organizing themselves. You know, we'll
right.
help
all
them
with
material.
All we're doing is we're
going
to have one national meeting to feed them what we know and be
right.
there as an advisor.
Right.
They need to do their thing in their states. And any questions they ever have, they can come to our room, they can ask us, or they can call me on the phone, and we'll give them all the help we can possibly muster for them. And I want to tell you something. We are uniquely qualified, and that's not a boast or anything. It just happens to be the truth. For some reason, we happen to have all the prerequisitional understanding that's needed to run for a common law jury. When we got the details on it, we looked at the details, we understood exactly what had to be done, how to word it, everything. We've kind of been seasoned with writing court papers and everything, so that has helped. We have been very well seasoned in the court of record and the common law procedure and process. We've seen so many different things going on. We see a lot of the traps, the mines they got out there, the minefields. And so we're kind of uniquely qualified. So we do encourage, before anybody changes anything that we offer them, that they should talk to us before they change it. Of course, you're free. You can do what you want. But we're not going to get into the business of that. I had an individual from another location in one of our counties, and he didn't like some of the things we put in there. And they said, hey, do what you want. You know, you're a free person. But, you know, they didn't want me to come down to give the presentation. They were going to give the presentation. They don't have any understanding of what common law or anything. Then they want to do the workshop on their own. They don't want us there. And I felt that they were isolating the rest of the state, and I felt that, you know, they haven't got a clue on what they're doing. So, you know, I can't deal with someone like that. So whatever they want to do, they could do. But I think they'll fail unless they really bone up and understand common law. They're in trouble if they don't.
There's another question.
So why not,
I'm sorry,
so
go
why,
ahead.
Why not just, you know, maybe I can talk to this guy or someone else. Maybe there's just something, you know, not right. That maybe he just has a different idea.
Yeah, maybe. Well,
things.
Yeah, that's a good idea. We'll talk offline on that. Maybe you can.
But listen, I just talked to David Gilmartin.
Okay.
The guy that was, what's the word? The jury came out guilty for IRS tax evasion.
Oh, okay.
A few months ago. And because I wanted to, you know, we were talking about grand juries and the IRS,
right.
Remember? And
yeah.
I actually heard you talking about it. So I called him, and I just spent like 5 minutes. So he said that twice a grand jury indicted him. I said, did you get to meet with them? And he says, no. And I said, well, why? He says, Larry Beecraft advised me against it. I'm like, well, why would he do that? He's like, well, because your Fifth Amendment rights are raised. I'm like, yeah, so? Everything you've done, I've done, David. You know, why would you not want to speak forward about it to the grand jury? You've done good work. You know, asking the IRS questions. Why would you want to not go before the grand jury? Because Larry Beecraft advised me not to. And I'm like,
well, is Larry Beecraft is a lawyer, is he not?
Yeah, he's an attorney. Let's see.
Yeah. Well, you get a lot of that from lawyers and attorneys. They're afraid to put the client on the stand. They figure he's going to bury himself.
And I think the DA even told him that. Well, you know, I'm advising the grand jury that you don't have Fifth Amendment rights. They intimidated David. That's what it sounds like. You know, they made him scared of the grand jury.
Well, that's all they do. They always intimidate. Well, unless you're talking about Beecraft intimidating.
No, the DA also talked to, I guess, you know, because he coordinated the whole grand jury, and he made it as though David didn't have a chance to talk to the grand jury unless the DA was involved. You see what I'm saying? I mean, it's obviously, look, David is willing to talk.
Well, now
about
we
his
know
experience.
That we have to deal with the feds here in our state, and we
it's
can no longer
allow. And they're telling him he doesn't have a Fifth Amendment right when he talks to the grand jury.
Well, that's true. That's a fact. That's just a fact. They can ask you anything and everything, and you have you.
Yeah, but
you,
I don't think you have to incriminate yourself. It says
well,
that the grand
no, listen,
jury can't step
jury, on
your constitutional
a grand jury
right.
can then subpoena, can then have the judge put you in contempt because you're not answering their question.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Read the fourth. It's in the book that I'm reading right now. So I don't. Look, I'm new to this whole thing too. So it's valid information to say that.
Oh, I didn't think the grand jury could stamp on anybody's constitutional rights. I know that they don't have the right.
No. See, it's the people. See, just think about, I guess we have to go back to Magna Carta.
Well, it's the people, but you can't force me to incriminate myself. That's my constitutional right. Now, as far as like double jeopardy, that doesn't count because this is an accusatory body. But nobody can make you incriminate yourself. You can't even make a Weiss testify.
Well, yeah, that's... Well,
I don't
think
that you don't have a Fifth Amendment right. You just can't. You cannot answer something if you think it's going to incriminate you, and a grand jury has to go elsewhere and find things.
Look,
I
disagree. But you know what? In David's case, it would have been beneficial. It's just that they intimidated him to think that he shouldn't because he can't hide from any questions.
Well, There are two things.
Wait, before you go, he offered, I said, hey, would you be willing to talk? His sentence is the middle of June. So
he should open a court of record.
Look, get him on the program, and maybe we can, you know, talk about
well,
that.
I don't know the guy. Get him to go out to the website, watch the videos, get him to listen to the audios, get him to see and understand what we're doing.
Well, I just
and you know what?
Have him like 10 minutes just talk about his experience, just because none of us really have understood what a grand jury is about. And just, you know, see what Larry Beecraft is saying, just to get into the details of what is going on with the corrupt grand juries versus how we like to do them, you know?
Once the county grand juries take control of New York and they see a wrongdoing, okay, a wrongdoing is a federal grand jury controlled by the government, people who are screened by the government, paid by the government, and are able to do the will of the government. That's a wrongdoing. That's evil. Okay, the grand jury of New York cannot allow that or permit that to go forward. We have a duty to the people to protect the people and prevent that. So therefore, we will have to take control of that and say, if you want a grand jury in New York State within any of these districts, I believe there's four districts, you're going to have to call us up and we'll muster you up the group for you to listen to your cases. And it's going to blow their whole game here because all of us will understand, unless there is an injured party, there is no crime. Now, I want to tell you, when you're dealing with the IRS and truly with any government agency anyway, it's the same thing over and over and over again, and you and I spoke about this, there are two things you have to understand. Consent and jurisdiction. Master the meaning of that and ask that question on every letter, every communication, any question, everything. Consent and jurisdiction. You don't ever want to give them jurisdiction. You resist it. You deny it. And you never give them consent. You never play in their sandbox. You make them play in yours. You know, they send you a letter and they say to you, well, okay, you know, this is what you owe us. If you want to contest it, you can write here and we'll talk about it and so on. Well, don't do that because that gives them consent. You go through their letter. And you know what? And nobody reads those letters. They're so frightened that they look at the codes and anybody can see this. Look at the codes that they tell you that they're acting under what authority and they're doing this on. And when you read the code, you're not in there. It doesn't have anything to do with you, because they don't have any authority over you. And not only that, you're not mentioned in any of these codes. It's always people who work for the government. You know, you have to work for the United States or someone in the District of Columbia. I mean, there's all kinds of language in there, but it never gets around to you. So you don't qualify. So that's your argument, and you don't argue it. You just tell them the way it is. This is the way it is. You've never got consent. You don't have jurisdiction. You wrote this, and here's what this says, and where does it find me? I don't work for the United States, and again, I've never given you consent, and you don't have jurisdiction. That's your battle all the time, day in and day out. They'll come back at you because that's what they do. And they'll try to wear you down, but you can't let them do it. Just stand to your guns.
At this point, he would have to challenge jurisdiction and just tell them that they can't, they have no authority because he's the sovereign, and they can't bring him in there under those pretenses.
Absolutely. Look, I want to tell you what he could do. He comes to New York. He's in New York. He's living in New York. Carl?
I'm sorry.
is this guy living in New York?
Yeah, right. Well, you remember he was in California. He's living in
right.
there for the past 8 years, and they brought him back for the trial.
Right.
So, yeah,
right.
I think he's in New York somewhere. I think in Spring Valley, in fact.
Okay. What he needs to do is a very simple case for him, in my opinion. He opens up a court of record, and he does a show cause, and he files, and as the same, at the same court, he also files civil and criminal charges against everybody, including the judge, the prosecutor.
He's set in his ways. I've asked him about 5 times to listen to Bill Thornton's stuff, and he hasn't. He hasn't read it. He hasn't
well, then he wants to be a good news
player.
Yeah,
right.
And he's got one of the best constitutional lawyers in the business right now.
Yeah.
Well, that's the problem. That's an
oxymoron. So
constitutional, the word constitutional
look,
and a lawyer on the same phrase is a major conflict of it's like oil and water. It's an oxymoron.
I would rather him come on the program and let him listen to other like minds to say where the route he's going. He needs to choose, and then maybe he'll listen. Because right now he's got June 15th. He's in jail. They're sentencing him. I think he's got a minimum 4 years. He's 76 or something like that.
What a shame! What they're doing to these people? You know, they go after the old people. I mean, who the hell are these people? You know. I mean, you know, look what they did to this woman, 76 years old, half crippled, throwing her out of a home. I mean, who are these people?
We got a question
out
here.
Did they have a mother? What were they, hatched out of an egg or something?
John, we got a question about, with regards to city and town courts, how would someone please explain how these courts would be inappropriate or unconstitutional? And then he says, in regards to disputes between individuals, but that's like two separate questions, because disputes between individuals, they're not really being unconstitutional. There's an injured party there. What we're talking about are the statutes that they are, the Nisi Prius courts and the statutes they're bringing us up under. So that's
right.
A different, you know, a civil case is different. When you're suing me or I'm suing you, there's an injured party and there's a claim, and we've been through some of them, and the judges a lot of times don't follow the law. That's the problem there. We've discovered that the judges break the law all the time. They don't even follow their own statutes. So that's a problem, but that's not the main problem we're going after. Basically, what we're saying is they're bringing us into these statutes that are not laws, where there's no injured party, and they're getting us to concede their jurisdiction and running us through this system that we don't have to go through.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's kind of real simplified.
Yeah, let me respond a little to that. But first I want to just go off for 10 seconds on something else while there's still a lot of people in the room. If any message goes out tonight, the most important message of the night is organize, organize, and organize. Get your 25. If you're from another state, organize within your state. Get your power group in the state that's going to organize the counties. And that's what we all have to do. There's no more time left. We have to do it now. Don't wait till next weekend or next week. Let's do it now. Get the people that you got in now. Get them coming in New York here. Get them to send their papers out. Let's get moving. Don't put it off another second. No procrastination. All right, getting back to the town stuff. Okay, every town court in the state of New York is a Nisi Prius court. You have no business going into it. You should avoid it like the plague. There are things you have to do if you get summons, but they don't have authority over you. They don't have jurisdiction. Every city court in the state of New York, with the exception of New York City, is a nisi prius court. Avoid them like the plague, just like the town courts. Anything they do is illegal. They don't have jurisdiction. They don't have authority over you. It's an uphill battle, but remember, the grand jury, once they get controlled, they're going to solve a lot of these problems for us. As far as if you have a if you have a lawsuit going on, if you want to go to small claims court, go to a county court. That's where you go, because that's a common law court. That's a court of record. And the grand juries will require them to be a common law procedure. Your best court to go to is the Supreme Court. And if you're gonna do a case against the state, well, let me give you an example. We have one guy that is going to go before their puppet grand jury for gun charges. Okay, and what we're going to do is we're opening up a court of record in the Supreme Court. And we're going to sue the lower court. The Supreme Court has ruled very clearly that we have the ability, instead of having to go to an appellate court to appeal their system and their process, we can do that in a higher court. So a court of record is a higher court in the Supreme Court. When we open up a court of record, a lot of people may not understand what I'm talking about here, but we don't do an RJI. When you open up a court of record, You open up the process with an index number, and then usually the court of record, the RJI is separate. And so they charge you $210 for the index number and $95 for the RJI. Well, we're not going to open up an RJI because we don't want judicial interference is better anyway. But we don't want them to interfere with our case. And if a judge tries to, we'll give them a writ of error. He can't come into our court. And so we run our own court without a judge through paper. We make our rulings and so on and so forth. We're going to do a habeas corpus on this guy that's in the town, and we're going to pull him out of that court and bring him into the Supreme Court and into his own court. And then he's going to launch a lawsuit from the same court, which will call for federal charges, and it will be a civil lawsuit because he's going to be looking for money because he was kidnapped, and he has to be compensated for that kidnapping. And he's also had to put up a ransom, and he needs to be compensated for that ransom. So that's one of the processes of things we're going to do. We're also going to do something very similar to that in two IRS cases we have, same kind of thing. Now, these battles continue, but I want to tell you, the moment the grand jury gets empowered, those problems all disappear because they're going to get involved in all these cases, and anybody that has a case like this, they got to deal with this. This is injustice, and the grand jury is going to tell them, back off, and if you don't back off, then you're going to be indicted. That's what we have to do. We have to protect the people. So hopefully I answered the question. The town courts are nisi prius courts. They will not rule on the Constitution. As a matter of fact, this is an absolute. When you walk into that town court and there is a piece of paper, it's a summons, and some cop had given you that summons and or arrested you, rest assured, you're guilty. You're guilty. You're going to pay a fine or go to jail or both. You're guilty. Everyone is guilty, and they just go through the bullshit trial to make it look nice. But you're going to be found guilty because as far as they're concerned, you're guilty. Guilty as sin. So you need to fight these SOBs. That's what you got to do. Don't give them consent. Don't give them jurisdiction. Deny.
Can I update something? Gerard,
sure.
I'd like to, you know, I agree with you that in principle you're right about the Fifth Amendment, you know, that's your right to not have to speak out against yourself, incriminate yourself. But I also think about the grand jury in some situations where I thought the evidence or the information they gathered does not go back to the court. In other words, it's either guilty or not, and the information that they've collected during their subpoenas and investigation doesn't necessarily have to go. And the other thing is, the people who come before the grand jury, they have to understand that the law is being judged too. You know, it's not like these guys are saying, don't worry, yeah, you broke a law, but you know what, it's, you know, we agree with it. I don't know how a juror would approach this, but he'd say, you know, not all laws make sense, so don't worry about it. You're before us to talk about what happened, and we want to make sure we do this a proper way, investigation. If you feel like you're innocent, then you have nothing to hide anyway. right? And then I guess, but this, I don't know if Magna Carta. I mean, now I have to go back because I'm reading this book, the history of the fourth branch, the hidden fourth branch by, what's his name, whatever.
The guy on the video?
No, I can't remember his last name, but we talked about this a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
And he says in there that that you can't hold back for a grand jury. A grand jury can actually go to the court for hold you in contempt. In fact, in a couple of cases, the Clinton case, Monica Lewinsky, I forget the woman, she went to jail. She was in contempt because she wouldn't answer the grand jury about something.
Yeah, but was that, did that have to do with incriminating herself or someone else? You see, if you know information about someone else and you don't give it, yeah, they can prosecute you and indict you. But listen, if you're telling me that I have to answer a question and I don't have the right not to incriminate myself, then the grand jury just has to go, did you shoot him or didn't you?
There's no question they can ask. If you know how to answer these people, there's no question that they can ask that will incriminate you as long as you tell the truth. Here's the bottom line. They can ask you, did you fill out your 1040 this year? Because that may be
no.
a reason why they got a 40 call to prosecute you. Well, you can go and rely on, your answer could be with the words of the Supreme Court. Well, look at, I've been trying to figure this thing out.
Yeah, but they may say, answer the question. You don't get a chance to
explain. Sure, well, look at
that. Yeah, I killed him.
I'm going to answer
that.
Well, look, if they want to be like that, to hell with them, because I can get an attitude like them, too, and I don't give a shit.
Yeah, but
look at, here's the bottom line. Here's the bottom line on that, though. Look, you're going to give them the answer, and they can't tell you how to answer. I'm going to give them the answer. Here's the answer. I went to counsel to the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, and they told me what to do because I'm trying to figure this whole thing out. I'm not that bright a guy. But you know what? The Supreme Court, they're smart people. And I read those Supreme Court rulings, and look, listen to what they said, and I'll start reading it out to them. So the answer is no, because they told me I don't have to. How can that be a crime? You see, that's how I play with them. But the bottom line, as I walk out of there, I'd let them know that about all the U.S. Code 42 and 18, and they're just as liable as everyone else, because I'm putting them in jail too.
Yeah, but
I don't care that they're puppets, and I don't care that they're...
Listen, I want to know, if I stand in front of a grand jury, do I have a Fifth Amendment right not to incriminate myself? That's what I want to know. So Carl says I don't. Carl says I got to answer the question whether it incriminates me or not, and that they can hold me in contempt and throw me in jail if I don't answer it, which would eliminate the need for the jury because they could just ask the question and I could be forced to answer.
Gerard, did you kill the person? Yes or no? I'm not answering the question. Well, then go to jail either way.
They're only going to indict you anyway.
Question because I might incriminate myself. Maybe I did kill him. Maybe it was self-defense, but that's not what this is about.
But that is what it's about. Because they're a jury of peers, and they're supposed to be our judges, and self-defense.
This is not the jury. The jury can decide the extenuating circumstance. All the grand jury has to do is see if there's enough evidence to bring it to a trial. The grand jury doesn't decide innocence or guilt. Matter of fact, they're not supposed to ask me if I killed him. That's none of their freaking business.
You know what I just realized? If you go before the grand jury, you have to be very careful how you talk to them, because by responding to their questions and dealing with them, you're given the consent of the system. And now you're under civil law, you're under citizen grand jurors who are under the 14th Amendment, and you're under them, and you're giving them authority to indict you. You can't give them that authority.
Well,
and you have to go in there and let them know.
What about a common law grand jury?
Well, that you have no choice with that. See, now, but the common law grand jury will ask the question, and there's no way they can force you to answer. Move on to the next question if you're not going to answer. That's fine.
They need to do an investigation. They need to listen to what the evidence is, and then they got to decide that if they think that the law was broken or if it's being misapplied or whatever, and they decide whether or not to indict. Then the jury can hear all the extenuating.
And when in doubt, don't indict.
Yeah, I guess if you have a reasonable doubt, then you don't indict.
I don't want to put some poor guy through the ringer and having to go spend his life savings and sell his house in order to defend himself on something that he may not be guilty of. And so if there's not enough there.
most of what I'm hanging on my hat on is Scalia's writing of what the grand jury does and says. And in a few places in there, he says you can do this, this, and that as long as you're not entrenching on the rights of a person.
Right. And the Fifth Amendment is a right.
So the Fifth Amendment is my right. And so, therefore, you can't entrench on my right, even if you are a grand jury. You know, you got to go around the back door or something and figure out some other questions to see if I broke the law. But I don't have to stand there and say, "Yeah, hey, listen, if I'm gonna confess to you, I don't even need to be in front of you. I need to make a deal with the prosecutor if that's where I'm at."
Well, if you're a murderer and you killed somebody, I suggest don't go before the grand jury and pray.
and that's the other thing, Gerard. You don't have to go before the grand jury, so that's
right.
Your Fifth Amendment right there. And the other,
I think that what they say with the grand, with the, I don't know if this is with the grand jury, but what I've heard is, I've heard prosecutors tell people, well, if you plead the Fifth, then you can't pick and choose. It's on everything. You don't get to answer.
Yeah, I don't know if that's true, though.
Yeah, well, I know
we
that
have
they pull
to,
that.
We have to look deeper into that.
I would think you'd plead Fifth where you want to. And before I don't think you should have the right to.
Remember,
you know, just my own understanding of this. But again, you can either not go before the grand jury or do. That was up to David. He had a choice, and Larry told him not to.
Listen, they're not going to be that stupid anyway. Listen, if I ask you a question, you go, I'm not going to answer it on ground. Then I ask you another question, you answer it. Then I ask you another one, you go, I'm not going to answer it. I could pretty much figure out what's going
Look,
on.
This is an important point. I really think we do need to nail it in the butt, and I think we need to research it more. But from what I'm gathering, in that Scalia decision, he mentioned the Supreme Court case, I think, which mentions that you can subpoena based on hearsay. You can't
do that
in...
That's right, on hearsay, and you can't, and somebody
not
can't
indict
say,
on hearsay.
No.
Subpoena,
yes.
Subpoena, and you can investigate and all that stuff, and they can't control you, and they can't tell you how to do it. I understand all that, you know what I mean? And they have broad powers, but they don't have any powers to step on my sovereign rights.
Then don't go before them.
Well, no, that's not true. I don't know. Look, you're taking your advice from a lawyer who said, a lawyer, the liar of the universe, a lawyer. And that advice is that, look, if you're going to plead the Fifth, then you got to not answer anything. If you answer one, you got to answer everything. Look, that doesn't even sound right. Because that's violating your rights to silence right away. Now, we have to look into that.
What if there's a bunch of questions you have that this person just chooses not to answer? I think you need to give the grand jury more benefit.
Then the grand jury needs to go and subpoena somebody else who knows the story. And if the only guy that knows the story is the guy that committed the crime, guess what? You don't have a case. You need somebody else to open their mouth.
I think you have to find a way to answer all their questions back with the idea or the point that whatever question or whatever the question is leading to, it's something, like if it's an IRS case, it's leading back to something they say you didn't do or they said you did do or whatever. Okay, well, you got to get back to bringing back the fact that they don't have authority, they don't have consent, they don't have jurisdiction. Now, when it comes to the grand jury, the same thing with them. They don't have the jurisdiction. You know, I'm sorry to tell you guys this, but all you guys are working for the government. You're not working for the people. The grand jury comes out from the people. They need people
to consent.
We're
talking about, John, we're talking about us as grand jury members.
The common law grand jury.
And now we got a guy that maybe committed a murder. Who knows? But let's see. Listen, we're going to get cases in front of us. And now the guy says, I refuse to answer that question on the grounds that it's going to incriminate me. The grand jury can't throw him in jail for that.
Well, they can't throw him in jail anyway. They only indict.
Well, look, I want to find more answers.
You're going to find your answers in other people. That's where you're going to find your answers.
Look, dude, I don't know. I mean, one thing is for sure is that the state, the way they practice it and the way they're teaching juries, they can. Because, again, Mona Lewinsky and his other – I'll dig them up for you guys. But, again, that's not people's comment. I think we need to just go back and understand what the king was giving up.
I wouldn't go by anything that Clinton and Monica Lewinsky and their grand jury
did. Do you remember one of the things Bill talked about was the king agreed that he would allow his castle, he would allow money, those kind of punishments, but he would never allow death or imprisonment
they gave
him or his kin.
Him. They gave him the grace. He didn't get it because he said it. He got it because it was the right thing to do and to give him grace.
Okay, fine. So, but that also would imply that those 25 people, if they have that much power, they're not going to sit around and say, well, you don't want to answer the question. Well, how can we go forward? This is his kin now. They're interviewing his kin, and they're choosing not to answer the question. Well, I have Fifth Amendment rights.
Look, I will tell you what. This is my advice to anyone that's guilty, okay? Anyone that's guilty, if you're coming up against the common law grand jury, you better take a pass on it, okay? And
that's probably the best thing for them to do.
That's
what this is about to me, because there are a lot of problems out there. A lot of cases where we know these people are guilty and they don't want to be before a grand jury. And if they think they have Fifth Amendment rights, fuck them.
What's the language now? We're being recorded.
Now, listen, is it a right or is it not a right? You don't have a right to take away a right from a sovereign. So if you think I don't have a
grand jury.
What's that?
I agree with you. But then you can't also be before the grand jury and say, I want to answer some of the questions, but not others. You're not helping as a witness.
Well, first of
You're
all,
not
am
credible.
I? Wait a minute. Am I a witness or am I the accused? There's a difference.
Like
there's
everything.
A difference.
Well,
if I'm in front of a grand jury because I've been accused of murder,
right.
And you ask
you could
me
be
a
the
question,
brother of the murderer. I mean, it
right.
doesn't matter.
I mean, it does matter because if my brother's the murderer, then I don't have a right not to give that information if I
Why
know
not?
It to be true.
He's blood.
And the law says a husband can't testify against his wife. It doesn't say a brother can't testify against his brother. I mean, these are legal parameters that have been put in.
The king asked for it, and the king, or the, like John said, the knights gave him the grace. So his kin or himself. It wasn't just him. It was his wife
well,
and his
you know,
and his
giving
children.
Giving a grace and taking a right away are two different things. You know, if you giving a grace is something that you didn't have to give. Grace is something that's freely given
yeah,
without
the king.
Deserved.
The king was guilty. He was given grace, and they want to continue to give the king grace. And that's why we
I
teach grace.
But he got it and he signed it, so that's it.
Listen, what is the,
it was signed.
Paul, next thing you'll
sealed.
Be doing is waterboarding me to get the answer out of me. If you got
no,
an
no,
attitude,
no, no, no.
You'll be putting me in a...
I would say you're not a credible witness. You know, I think as a
well,
grand
yeah,
juror,
yeah,
I would
I
have
am
to
your,
say,
if,
I can't hold I, this guy's information too much because he's choosing not to answer. So I don't
right.
know what his...
And if I'm the only guy you got and I'm the accused and you have no other witnesses, you're going to have a real hard time indicting. If I'm the only guy that knows what went on and I was accused and you can't come... If the grand jury and the cops or anybody else can't produce
well,
enough... Then I'm going to get away
from...
Let him finish. Go ahead.
Listen, we understand that sometimes people get away with murder, and we allow it to happen because freedom is much greater. Attending
New York
more
is unmuted, by the way.
Oh.
Try to,
hello, John.
I don't think we're getting anywhere with that. This anyway,
no,
so.
Hello,
John. So move on, .org, you know?
Okay.
Is that Manny?
Yes, sir.
How
gentlemen, good evening. How are you?
Good evening.
I have been listening. This is regarding the committee, man. I just want to make a suggestion to all the people listening. It is very important, besides doing the committee man petition, for really committed people and grassroots to really start thinking about not only becoming committee man people in their localities, but also start to become politically active in whatever party you're in. You know, it could be conservative and Republican and independent. Be part of the political system so that we could bring our ideas and our changes into the system. This is extremely important. Right now, at this time, we, the grassroots, are regaining the people's trust. They really shake our hands. They really bring us back. And I could testify to that because I've been to a few functions where they really look up to us right now and say, thank you. Keep up the good work. This is really fantastic. We're right now, people that were suppressed up to today, yesterday, right now we're really much appreciated by the crowds and And I start seeing the political system slowly falling apart. But we have to keep our momentum going. And it's doing it the right way. We're doing it. We have acquired the knowledge thanks to all the work that we've been doing in the past couple of years. It's time now to put that knowledge to work. Wherever you are, in New York State, upstate, downstate, in the city, the villages, we need to really sit down and be responsible, because this is the only way that we're going to start changing the system. Whatever John is doing, whatever we are doing with the committee men, it is a foot in the door. But now I think it's expected from us, from our society, from our generation, to really step up to the plate and take a seat in the local council boards, in the local committee boards, and really do the work for the people and be honest. Honesty is the ultimate goal. This is the beginning of turning the ball toward where we want it to be. And, I mean, I just, since we're talking about the committee, man, whoever has started to doing this process, keep that in the back of your head. Don't just start at being a committee person, but continue on. Start sitting at a table with the big guys. The big guys, they're not better than us. And, you know, we have to stop pushing these people aside. But we could only do that with bringing our knowledge to the table, making sense, bringing our honesty in our little villages. People start listening to us. They start smiling at the grassroots people. And thank God that this is coming back to us. We need this, and we should bank on this right now. Besides all the work that we're doing in the bank, I mean, I just wanted to give this message to everybody that is listening. Now is the time really to stand up, but not being aggressive and being negative. Stand up with your principles and bring it to the people, whatever we are. This is something that I just wanted to say tonight to you guys.
I got a couple of questions for you, Manny. Are you heading up to Albany tomorrow?
Yes.
Okay, you know that our case is tomorrow also,
yes,
right?
1
okay.
o'clock.
1 o'clock will be before the appellate court.
Right, which room are you going to be in?
O'clock. Probably the same one, you know. Well, yeah, I
Where is
I'm
it,
sure
a fourth
it
floor, third floor?
I think it was the fourth floor. They'll tell you that.
Fourth floor, okay.
But okay, so it's 1 o'clock they tell us to be there, but I don't think we're going to be heard till a little later.
Yeah, yeah,
they
I notified.
They should try to get as many people as possible
yeah.
to come up there. We'll get the info, and we have all the information out on the Internet anyway. So if you go up to our group, it's up there. And you
yeah,
know,
no, I already have it, and I informed quite a few people. A lot of people are going to be at the rally tomorrow, so I said
to
whoever's going to be there.
Yeah,
whoever's going to be there, make sure that we go to John's case, because it's just as important, if
this
not
is huge.
More.
This is a huge case,
so,
okay?
I just want to share with you guys one last thing. Yesterday I went to the conservative brunch for Dutchess County, and a lot of big shots were there. I mean, these people came up and shook the grassroots hands, said, thank you, guys. So, this is great. This is great. And I'm not saying this because we should kiss the ring of anybody. I'm totally against that. But my point, and it's a very strong one, and I hope that people realize that right now, these big wigs start to realize that we are serious and we are not going away. And I think they want us to sit with them and... I think they want our positive input. And our positive input, I think, at this time, could really, really, really start making some changes, well-deserved and well-needed all over the state. So keep that in mind, whoever's doing the committee runs in New York State, whatever place you are, that, you know, don't stop there. If there is an opportunity, take it, sit, don't be afraid. Tell the truth, bring the knowledge to the table, because first of all, like John says, knowledge is power, and if you make sense, they're going to listen to you. If you start talking stupid, they're just going to slam the door and say, get out of here. So, you know, all the acquired knowledge that we have, let's put it to work, and let's put it to positive work. I think right now, it's really the time.
All right, let me digress to something else. I'm wondering how's things going on your phone calls? Are you still making phone calls?
We had a couple. I met a few people yesterday, a part of our group. It says we received the calls between me and Brian. We made the calls. We don't know what it's all about. The only thing I tell these people is like, go to the website, read about
okay.
it.
Listen. I don't know. When did you come in? Were you here at the beginning of this
call?
I
was here from 8:15 listening.
Okay. I think I mentioned it numerous times, even after 8:15, that we have the video up online right now, right on the front page. And if they go up there to the front page and they look at it, it's the first video on the page. Just go to the welcome page, newyorkcommitteeman.org. You'll see breaking news, and you'll see video best viewed in full screen, and you'll see the play button. If they click
okay,
that
I'm at the front page right now where there is the Monday night call. I don't see the breaking news.
Click on welcome.
Okay,
on the left side. Click on welcome. That's the front page. It's newyorkcommitteeman.org. Now, click refresh right above welcome twice.
Okay.
Okay, now you should see breaking news as you come down, and you'll see the video right under breaking news. It's a 45-minute video, and anybody who watches that video will understand exactly what we're doing. It's the PowerPoint.
Okay.
And this PowerPoint has been bringing people in by the droves. Okay, most of the people... I'd say 80% of the people who see it come in, the big thing, the 20% that, they're just frightened or they don't feel that they can do it. Or, you know, there's like 20% of the people at least that just don't feel that they can do it or whatever.
I clicked that refresh page twice. Still, breaking news is not coming up.
Wow. Okay. Then you got to go clean your cookies out. What are you using, Internet Explorer?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's your problem. It's really bad. You got to clean your cookies, you know.
Okay.
You got to go up onto the file somewhere and get options and then cookies.
Sorry. I see breaking news in the middle of the page. Video best viewed in full screen.
There you go.
I have it. The power of the grand jury.
So all people have to do is go to the front page of our website, right under breaking news, watch that video. It's 45 minutes. And then, you know, what you do is you tell them, hey, watch the video. Can you do it now? I can look at it. I'll call you back in an hour. You know, put them on the spot. Push them. Yeah, we got to get it done.
Yeah. Have you received my application and my son's?
Not yet. No.
I sent it last week, so you should be getting it.
Really? I should have gotten it by now.
Yeah, I think my wife put it in probably Saturday or Friday.
Right.
So today's Monday. Probably tomorrow.
Right. I'll keep an eye.
Unless your mailman is doing the job of. The government.
Yeah, they may
and collecting your mail before you can look at it.
Anybody else,
what we're doing. I mean, I have
mic.
People.
Sorry.
So okay, we're doing that.
All right, good. Yeah, let's
we'll
keep going on
tomorrow.
That, and let me know how things are going tomorrow. Yeah.
Sounds good.
Anything else, Randy?
That's about it. I don't know if you guys have any questions. I mean, there is a lot going on politically right now. I'm really happy to see where we're at. Maybe this is God's hand working, but the wheels are spinning in our favor. And, when I see you tomorrow, I will tell you what's going on up county. I think that's mostly due to the work that you have done, that we have done together. There is the big wigs are falling right now. That's great news. But we have to replace those people with our own kind. And if we are just doing what we're doing and we cannot sit at the table with these people, I feel that we're missing on a big opportunity. And please, we need to also put this in the people's head that there is a need for real patriots to sit at the table with these other fake politician, and do the work for the people.
Well,
I mean, absolutely.
Well, Manny, what you're getting is a foretaste of what will happen when the committeeman is restored. Because those politicians will come, they will shake your hand, and they'll beg you to tell them what to do. Because that's what you see. What they're doing is they're treating the grassroots like the parties, because the parties are falling apart.
Yeah, no, well, I think that besides that, they've seen I mean, what I've seen, I mean, Mike Long was there. I'm not confident with these people. I'm just putting some names. But we had a lot of people appreciating the work that we've done. And we're talking about some are more true than others. And these are the people that we had enough guts to come forward and say thank you. And they really appreciated us being there. And, you know, for all that I could see, and sometimes you have to have a sense of where we're at. I mean, they know that we're not going to take what they want to give us, but we're only going to take what belongs to us. And it's hard for them to understand, but they are trying to figure out how they're going to bring us in and deal with it. That's their problem now. And if we keep at it, we could defeat these people. And I believe that what we're doing is actually trying to defeat them and take what's rightfully ours and from these people, from, you know. Now, I don't want to use any bad adjectives, but we're going to call them people. So it's important.
Well,
I mean, it's important
citizens.
To continue on.
Call them citizens or persons.
Yeah.
Well, they're worried about their jobs, as they should be.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah. But, you know, Gerard, right now they know that things are risky for them. And see, we are not going to take them in for sure. I mean, we know who they are. And but my thing is that I would like people our own kind to really not be afraid of these people and really be able to try to sit at the table with them, I mean, really one-on-one, and says this is where we're going with this. And so because they're going to start to accepting our way of thinking, to them it's all like they know. But they haven't accepted. But now I believe that they're going to start realizing that. I told people, I usually tell these people in my area, I says, we are not going away. So either you work with us or you are going away. You are going away. I'm not going away. I tell them right in their face, Gerard. And, you know, they when they see you, first they try to avoid you. But now I see them coming back. I see them coming back and you know, a lot of them, that they were trying to avoid us like the plague. Now they say, well, you know, there is something to these people. I see that. I feel that change, which is great. I believe it's something that our movement
should bank on. You think the gun issue might have wedged them a different way?
Well, I will talk to you. I'd rather not talk on the phone. I will give you some more details of what's happening in our county level, and there is a lot of falling off, and a lot of it's got to do with what we've been doing for the last 3 years, and I think that this year, I know that you probably don't think you should, but I personally think you should take some suits. Sue some of these individual. The way you said it, sue the individual, not the institution.
Exactly. That's what
and,
I have to
and
right.
If we do
we
that,
make
John,
a mistake. We make a mistake.
Yeah,
every
if
time
we do
we
that,
sue.
If you do that this year, they're going to run like rats. They are
right.
Going to run like rats.
When we launched the last lawsuit before, you know, and I'm not talking about the lawsuit for the Second Amendment, because we sued the individual.
Yeah, yeah, it's the Board of Election.
We sued the Board of Election,
right.
And not long after that, we realized we shouldn't have, and
right.
Really, you know, because we learned since then.
Right.
But the bottom line is, yeah, when you sue the municipality, the structure, the building,
right.
You're really suing yourself, because that's ours.
Right.
We have
right.
to sue the people who have seized control
correct.
And are acting outside of their jurisdiction that are doing criminal actions. Those
correct.
Are the people.
We got to drag those people into the court system, and they're going to have to bring their own lawyers and pay with their own money.
Exactly.
Well,
and that's
you know,
what's going to
you know
put
what,
them.
Manny? You know
yeah.
what, Manny? It is in our lawsuit, because if you read the lawsuit, what we threaten them with is that if they don't do the right thing, and if they're the ones that are in the Board of Elections, if they're holding this thing up, then we're going to go after them with U.S. Code individually.
Correct.
Put that
but I think
now they might have actually sat down and read the damn thing finally, and they probably said these guys are going to come after us next because it's in there in no uncertain terms.
Right.
So
well,
I think you're right. I think we need to grab a couple of them and put their name on the
all
sheet.
All right. I think that's going to work.
Let them really let them squirm.
Right. That's going to put the scare crap out of them, and really these people are going to leave their position open and run.
Yeah,
and when we get
the skeletons will want to get the heck out of there.
Right. And when we only need one example of that, and everybody, the Iraqi is going to fall. If we're
right.
able to bring a couple of these guys in court, and really have some of them says, you know what, I don't need this. Whatever money I'm making, I don't need this. Once we see that, the rest of them are going to follow just along. And it says, you know, the oven is getting hot, and I don't want to get burned. So they're going to run. You know, Gerard, we learned, we didn't know, but I think that kind of going after the individual, the commissioner, going after the chairman,
mm-hmm.
of certain counties, bring them
mm-hmm.
in. Bring them in. And
yep.
and that's going to change. That's going to change big. Because, you know what, look what's going on. They're laughing because if we sue the institution, they're covered under their umbrella. And they bring the big wigs, lawyers, and we pay for it. And, you know, the judges are in cahoots with them. But when an individual goes in front of a Supreme Court judge, it's a different story. The Supreme Court judge now is on one-to-one. Does he save his skin or does he save these individuals? And many times, they'll throw them under the wheel.
Yeah,
but they'll think about twice before they'll punish an institution like the Board of Election, which, you know, the Supreme Court judge has a lot to lose. And we've seen that over and over again. But we are doing great work, and we are at a great point now. I mean, I think this is good news, and we really should bank on this. And besides,
well, you know, you're right, because in the first case, the state, Miss Galvin, the lawyer for the state, I believe the reason that she defaulted is because she didn't dare have us put her on the stand and do discovery. So that scared her to death. She had to go in the back room and say, listen, I'm going to default, and you throw them out of court because I can't get up there and answer their questions.
Right.
So, you know, if we have specific information on specific people and we bring them in, guess what? That judge is not going to be able to throw that case out.
Right.
You know, and I think you're right. I think that's the next strategy, is to go after them
individually,
on a personal level. Yeah.
And
yep.
you know, not bring suit to the whole state, but bring suit to the local neighborhood. In other words,
right.
would it be Greene
right.
County? Bring
yep.
one guy in. Bring the guy from Dutchess County. If this is successful on those individual bases, it'll spread like wildfire. These guys will start peeing in their pants and run like rats. So,
yeah.
You know, and the effort is going to be a lot less on you guys, because now you're working on one individual rather than working on a state institution. So.
Right, right.
But I strongly suggest that John continue, especially this year, because we're going to run petitions again. I mean,
yeah,
it would be foolish not to bring these guys to court.
Right. Yeah, we're going to sue all the commissioners. That's what we're going to do this year.
Yeah, we discussed that recently. That was the conclusion we came to recently.
And we're not going to wait until the election. We're going to sue as soon as we get our letters.
Right. Right.
So we'll be suing in June.
Right.
Yeah, that's good. And
no, I mean July. I'm sorry. Well,
these guys, as soon as they see the indictment coming to them, they're going to fold. You'll see. Mark my word, they're going to
fall. By the way, anybody out there that wants to speak, just hit *8 and your hand will go up. We'll see it and we'll unmute you. Go ahead, Manny.
You know, basically, I mean, I hope that people who are listening, you know, some of them are new to the system. A lot of work has been done. The groundwork has been broken. And really all the knowledge that you have put forward, they should. I know it's a lot to assimilate in a couple of weeks or a couple of months, but try to grasp whatever you can and move forward. The petition drive has to be done. That's a must. And from that,
well, make sure Steve gets ready to know that we're going to be doing it. So
oh,
you can count from Steve. Okay.
He knows. So whoever, but and the other thing, step number two, is that whoever can and has some free time. I mean, really, to do the work for the people in a small town is really not much time devoted. You're talking about probably in a month. Gerard knows because he's been there, 4 hours of your time. But, you know, people will appreciate it when they see an honest person sitting over there and doing the honest work for the people. And you don't have to stay there forever. Once you see that things go better, you know, you could put somebody else in your place. But we need to sit in those seats right now and really start thinking that I shouldn't be there, but I rather should be there. And I deserve to be there and do the right work for the people in that area. I mean, it's important. I know, John, that you probably have a slightly different take on this, but the grassroots cannot do only the ground base work that we have been doing and then abdicate the power of doing the work of the people to our lawyers, legislatures that we can trust, and not to ourselves. I mean, I strongly believe that we are capable of doing, if not better, just as good of a job that these guys have been doing for years and dragged us to where we are today. I mean, it's a continuation. I mean, we saw from day one when our Constitution was put into place, you know, George Washington and others, they were there, even though against their will, he says, I don't want to be here. But until somebody else comes along to do my job, I'll sit here and do whatever it takes. And that's my message. We don't have to sit there, but let's sit there now, straighten the situation out, and then, you know what? Let some other people do the work. I mean, once
yeah.
they
well,
acquire
the grand,
knowledge,
the grand,
but,
the grand
but knowledge is the most important thing. You cannot sit in those positions and remove people from where they are. You said it this many times, if you do not have the knowledge. So, you know, knowledge is very important. People, they got to really get themselves acquainted with what's going on and then say, you know what, now I know what I could do.
Well,
and
the committeeman process will be straightened out also from the standpoint of the grand jury. And the grand jury is going to be done before anything else is done. It should be done in July. And one of the first order of business is to go up and read the Riot Act to the two commissioners up there in Albany that controlled this whole thing and have been they're the ones that have prevented the unexpungement of the committeemen. They know. We've told them, and they know. And they're holding it back. It's a political game that they're playing. They're holding up the status quo. And so, but once we go up there and let them know that they need to fix this, and they got 48 hours to fix it, and we're going to tell them what they need to do, and we'll give them a written prescription on this, because if they don't, then we are going to indict. And believe me, I don't think that they're going to want to be indicted. Now, once they do that, then, yeah, we'll sit at the table with these people, but guess who will be at the head of the table? Okay?
Us.
And, right, and we're going to read them the Riot Act. As a matter of fact, if we're sitting at the end of the table, they're all gone because they're in for the game, for the money, for the criminal activities.
Correct.
And it's no longer available, so they're going to leave. And besides that, the darkness can't stay with light. You know, we're bringing in what's right, and they got what's wrong, and the two can't mix, and darkness always goes out when the light stands on. So
you know, John, I said it this before, and I've been doing a lot of reading. Our movement is just as equal as the Martin Luther King movement. What we represent is a peaceful movement. We just want what belongs to us, and we're not asking for anything else. We want what's right for the people. And I believe that right now we're ready to march to Washington. We're almost there.
Well, tomorrow we're going to be marching on New York. So.
Yeah,
and
we're almost there.
I just want to end the conversation, end the recording, so... you want a final statement before I end the recording?
No, that's about it, John.
Let me end the recording,
everybody.
And we'll continue for a while. And by the way, before we end the recording, just so everybody knows, I just uploaded the other video for the committeeman, and it's on our front page, newyorkcommitteeman.org. And it's a couple of inches below the first video, which we want everyone to look at, is the grand jury. But now we have the other way to take back power, which is the committee man process. And so that video is up there. It's a 25 or 30 minute video. I forget how long. It's not very long. And so that's another one people want to look at. It's a really well, good quality PowerPoint. So anyway, with that, hang on one second. Let me end the recording.